All right. Welcome to LFP group call number 53. We are climbing up the ranks. So amazing. So as you all know, if you've read my emails, tonight we are diving into authentic self, which is a big topic that I get asked a lot of questions about all the time, because it is such a part of personal development, and it's also, these days at least, such a buzzword in all of the books that have been coming out, like, you know, the airport stand books, the self-development books. It's all about, like, be authentic, be your authentic self, be true to you, and all that stuff, which is great. But it also can cause some confusion if we're not necessarily clear on what our authentic self is or isn't. So this evening, we're going to be exploring this, and my intention is to do less talking and more asking questions and listening. I guess asking questions is talking, but less talking in the form of, like, presenting information, and balance it out with really inviting you ladies to explore this theme with some questions and a couple of activities and a fun intro round, or at least a thought-provoking intro round. So those of you who have been on the calls before, most of the calls are kind of the same format, which I'll go over in a second for those of you who are new. And tonight will be similar, but I really do want to listen tonight more so than I want to, like, teach things. So anyhow, all right, so the format for tonight, because we have a newcomer, Caprice is here, yay! We'll do intros in a second. So we'll start with introduction round, and tonight I would like to invite us to share name, location, something you're grateful for yourself, and then where are you at with this authentic self stuff? So, like, does it make sense to you? Do you have a sense of, like, what does authentic self mean? Do you feel like you have a sense of your personal authentic self? Can you tell when you're out of alignment, in alignment? So anything qualifies. It can be a long share or a short share. I'm really excited to hear and kind of tune into and take the pulse of the group and take the pulse of each of you insofar as where you're at with this theme and this topic. And if this is totally new or, like, a confusing thing altogether, that's totally cool too. That's why I do these calls. That's why we're all here together. So if you're like, yeah, I don't know what this means, or, like, I'm just kind of starting this whole thing, that's totally fine as well. So we'll start with introduction round, and then we're going to do a sharing activity, and I'm going to be, you know, prying some things out of you ladies with the intention of hearing your take on authentic self and things that you've noticed in your lives or things that you've noticed in the outside world that have kind of informed your sense of authentic self or informed your confusion around authentic self. So I have some questions that I'll be asking all of you. And then I'll do a little bit of sharing and teaching. I just want to distinguish and make some distinctions between what is and what isn't authentic self. Because we've got personality and persona, we've got identity, we've got authentic self, we've got best self, we've got, like, all of these, like, archetypes, all of these, like, phrases, catchphrases, but also all these archetypes, and it can get super confusing sometimes. So I'm going to do some unpacking around that and some, hopefully, some clarifying around what I believe and also what the psychology literature and, I want to say, personal development literature for the most part strongly suggests authentic self actually is. So I'll talk a little bit about some sciencey stuff and, like, how to tell, and then we're going to do a group activity where all of you get to ask each other questions at the end. So lots of exploring tonight. So for introduction round, name, location, something you're grateful for about yourself, and then where are you with all this authentic self stuff. So I'll start the round. I'm Fawn. I'm in Yalapa. I am grateful for how I push myself to stretch through my comfort zone nonstop. And it's really uncomfortable, but I'm really grateful for it because really awesome things happen when I do that. So grateful for that. And this authentic self theme, well, you're all about to find out more about my philosophy about this, but I'm finally, as of maybe 2 years ago, feeling super dialed and aligned with what authentic self is and how I can align myself with it consciously. But for 35 years of my life, it was a little bit of a wonky ride. So, and I'm still always learning new things as well. So, all right, I'm going to pass the baton to Miss Emily. Hi, Em.
Hey, everybody. My name is Emily, and I live in Berkeley, California. And today I'm super grateful for friends. Always having a friend around when you're having a bad time or whatever, it's always important to have your friends around. So today I'm super grateful for friends. And in terms of authentic self, what I've come to understand about myself authentically is that if I'm not consistently pushing myself to grow and welcoming feedback and learning how to be non-reactive to the feedback that I'm getting, then I am not in the place of authenticity. So yeah, that's a big one because definitely in this phase of my life, I'm getting a lot of feedback and it's like feedback that's a little challenging, but the more I learn how to be non-reactive to it, the better view of authenticity I have of myself. So that's where I'm at with my authentic self. And so, yeah, I'm getting to this phase of my life where if I'm not uncomfortable, then I'm not actually feeling good. It's weird, right? But it's kind of true. So, yeah, that's where I'm at.
Awesome. Thank you so much for speaking to that, Emily. All of that and the feedback and being able to receive and hear feedback as part of your authenticity. I really appreciate that. It's not easy all the time. Right? Yeah. Thank you. Sylvia, hello.
Hello. Hi, ladies. I'm Sylvia, and I currently live in North Carolina, Raleigh. And right now I'm grateful for learning opportunities. I'm excited about authentic self stuff. What I've been working on lately has been kind of like shedding old beliefs and kind of those conservative stereotypes of women and kind of creating my own authentic self from that. I feel like I am a long way down the road from where I was a year ago, so I'm feeling a lot more confident with that, but there's a lot of work I still would like to do, so I'm super excited.
Great. Thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah, you've had an amazing self-developmental journey since we met 3 years ago or so. Yeah, and authentic mm-hmm. self is such a big piece of like discovery and reinvention, so thank you for sharing that. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hi, Layla. Welcome aboard. Good to see you. Look how cute your hair is. I love it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, my name's Layla. Hi, guys. I know most of you. And I'm in California, San Diego. And I'm grateful for traveling because with the situation with the virus, of course, as you guys know, we've been staying home and we've been pretty careful on our side. And, but this week we're considering, you know, doing a small road trip, through like the coastal freeway. So I'm pretty excited about that because I've been pretty cooped up in here. I'm grateful for that. And then my relationship with my authentic self, I read a book about it many years ago, like when I was 15. So I was in high school. And at the time it was like when I was reading about what it was like my first time even getting an idea of what that was or that even existed. And I thought it was so interesting. And I always thought, like, I want that. You know, that seems like a very happy way to live your life, is to live authentically. And I would say that I wouldn't consider myself to feel that I'm 100% authentically, feel authentically myself. But I'm working on it. And I find that one of the quickest ways for me to be, to find more of what that is or grow, is really hard times and challenges. And like Emily and Fawn have talked about, like being really uncomfortable. As you guys know, I like to travel. So when you travel, there's a lot of discomfort because there's a lot of things that are unpredictable. I have found in my own experiences that one of the faster ways for me to grow is through really, really difficult times. I'm sure there's more to it, but that would probably be my summary of my relationship with that.
Great. Thank you so much, Layla. Caprice, I think this is your first call. I think everyone else has been on the calls before. So everybody, welcome, Caprice. Yay. Thanks for being here with us. Yay.
It's my turn?
Yeah.
So hi, I'm Caprice. I'm in Danville, New Hampshire. Right now I'm grateful for my house. And I'm just learning about the, I don't know how to pronounce it. Authentic. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking it up and learning about it.
Beautiful. Thank you. Yay. I'm so excited to hear that. Great. Caprice and I have worked together for 7 months, maybe 6 months or something like that. Yeah. Yeah. And it's been amazing to watch you step through your comfort zone so many times. And she just passed the New Hampshire broker's license test too, mm-hmm. which was something that she was like, I don't think I can do it, but you did it. Yeah.
It was scary.
That's so awesome. Yay. Thanks for being here. Welcome. Oh, also, Caprice, just so you know, we do these little signals sometimes on the call if somebody is sharing something that we really resonate with or that, like, we feel the same way about. We do these little fingers to show that we resonate with them. Or we get really excited like this. It's like, me too. Just in case you're wondering, or if you feel like doing that, you're welcome to. Sometimes I forget to tell people. They're like, what's with the fingers? Beautiful. All right. Jasmine, oh, my goodness. So good to see you here. Yay.
Hey, girls, you too. I'm Jasmine. I'm in northwestern New Jersey. I am grateful today for probably Joel, my husband. I've been very sick the last, 4 or 5 days, and I'm actually waiting a COVID test. So I've been off-grid, so just if you pray, whatever you do, but I really needed some light tonight, so I'm on. So I'm really grateful for Joel because he's just been holding the fort down. We have 2 little kids, so it's been a really tough couple days. And I think, exploring my authentic self. I don't really even know what that means. Yeah, I'm still in like a stage where I feel like I'm vacillating all the time between if I know who I am or I don't know who I am, or if I'm the product of just who I surround myself and what I see and what I hear, and if I'm just a puppet or if I'm just mirroring things back, or if they're really my own thoughts and feelings. And I'm still just exploring how to know if that's really truly me or if it's just, you know, the current flavor of the week or the month or the year. It can be really difficult sometimes. So I'm definitely on the journey with you all.
Thank you. And I'm concerned about your health, Jazz.
You know,
What are your symptoms?
Yeah, I was really sick. I mean, if you look up COVID, just check them off. So I'm hoping that it's really similar to Lyme also. So I'm actually hoping it's Lyme. We pull off ticks all the time. We live in like tick country, but, yeah, I don't know. I was like, we've been pretty careful too, but this past weekend for Father's Day, my dad came up and we golfed with my brother and my sister, and she works in a hospital. So I'm trying not to hold a ton of anxiety over that, but there's like, obviously I saw them on Saturday and I was totally fine. And then on Sunday I like couldn't move. So I was like probably asymptomatic for, I don't know how long, but like fever, chills, like lots of muscle, like tension and stiffness and things going through my body. So yeah, I hope it was a bug, or I hope it's Lyme or something else, because, you know, we've been so careful. We like have not been doing anything, but we also went to the beach last week for the first time, but just me and my immediate family, the same three that I saw this weekend. So I don't know, so I'm okay now. I was really worried. I was very short of breath. My chest was really tight for like 3 days, and I was like started to spiral a little bit and like go down a rabbit hole of like, oh my God. But it didn't get bad enough where like I had to go to the hospital. It just got like, I just like couldn't move or do anything, or I was like breathing really heavy, which is kind of disconcerting. Mm. So, yeah.
God, I'm so sorry.
Ooh. Thanks for letting me be here tonight and talk about it, because I haven't really told anyone, because it probably freaks everybody out, you know. But
when do you get the test back? You said you took a test?
It's just crazy. It's supposed to be 24 hours, and then the lady hands me like the sheet to sign up to like get the results online, and she's like, oh, by the way, they're backed up and it could be 5 to 7 days.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, 5 to 7 days. I mean, of course I'm like hardcore quarantining, like even for my kids who are like just, it's terrible to have little children that just like want you, but 5 to 7 days. Like, so yeah, today's day 4. So I'm just hoping that it's 5. And we know by the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing lots of positive affirmations. So I just, you know, when you feel it though, like I feel like I have it, but I just keep saying that I don't, and that I'm fine, because you have to. I'm also not a doctor. I don't know. It could be probably a number of things, or, you know, I'm making it up because COVID's in the air, and like, I don't know. I'm hoping I'm making it up. So.
Oh my gosh. So much love to you. Thanks. Right now. Wow. Gosh. I can't even imagine, like, yeah. Sending you so much love. And yes, keep your affirmations happening. And just as a word of caution, I would not necessarily say I hope it's Lyme, because Lyme is a lifelong chronic immunodisorder that can really wreck your system. So let's hope that it's a common cold and that it's passing, and you're going to be great tomorrow.
That's fair. Okay.
Okay. Let's plug that in. Oh, Jazz. Thank you so much for being here. Oh my gosh. Yeah. All right. Let's shine some light on you. Oh. All right, and to you, Maura, and I, or Michael, Michael Maura.
Great, I'm so glad I get to follow that.
I saved you for last, because in your email to me, you were like,
oh,
I
yeah.
had this big thing around authentic
I
self.
I did.
I thought it would be a good segue, and I...
It is a good segue. My name is Maura, not Michael. I was like looking around for a name tag, because I usually have one. Because why don't I have name tags? But Michael is my son. He's my 12-year-old who has taken over my Zoom account on Friday afternoons for his Dungeons & Dragons meeting. So because I have a corporate Zoom account that has no limit. He doesn't have a 40-minute limit. So And I just never remember to change my name back until it comes up on the screen, but I'm Michael. So, you know, I am in Milford, Connecticut. I am grateful for Just Do It June, and I posted recently that I was kind of disappointed with Just Do It June. Yay! Because, like, I've been so diligent about, like, exercise, like, thoughtfully working out every day, like, so good, and being really, like, not self-judgmental and not, like, don't get on the scale and don't measure by the scale. I got on the scale and I lost, like, 2 fucking pounds in 3 weeks of exercising every day, and I was like, this is fucking bullshit! But then I, like, reeled myself back in, looked at my, like, Just Do It June and saw, like, I had exercised diligently for 33 out of 35 days. Like, diligently broke a sweat, was ridiculous, like, doing it. So today I did not get a chance to exercise in the morning, and I came home from work and I was like, I don't want to. And telling Michael that he had to exercise for me. He's like, I'm playing Minecraft. Like, that's your thing. Like, you go do that. And so I did. So he took his computer. He goes, I'll go into my room and play Minecraft in there so you can use the TV out here. And I did it. And I did 2, 1 easy workout and 1 a little harder. And I was like, ah, I do feel better. Like, I do feel better. Like, it's all true. Like, all that stuff is true about exercise. So that's what I'm grateful for today. The ability to have that, right? To be able to do that. So, and for Fawn and for Just Do It June and having the sort of accountability, like having it on my table every day to sort of like write it down and check it off. Look at Jazz and her post-its too. Say on it. Caprice, watch out. Fawn pulls us into this shit. I'm telling you. You're going to be on board.
She already has been. We've been working on those goals.
Yes. It's a tribe or a cult. We're okay with either. We're good.
We're a cult called tribe. No big deal.
We're a cult called tribe. No big deal. And my authentic self, I really just have been paying attention to core values, right? And core values developing and contributing to your authentic self. I really think those two things are so in line. And every time you're not sure who you are, if you just go back to that list, that first thing that Fawn has you do and that we all do, if they're not there, then you're out of balance. And that, I think, is how you get to your authentic self. And so what Fawn's alluding to is this one of, I lived in California for 21 years. I grew up in Connecticut. I'm a single mother. I had all these should-haves ideas about I have to raise my kid in Connecticut. So I moved us back here. I moved me back here and him here 2.5 years ago. And with this idea that it was going to be idyllic and Norman Rockwell and, you know, like he'd go to great schools and I'd maybe find someone and settle down and like have this fucking New England life, whatever. And I came to learn that he didn't need the family that I'm related to because they suck. In a lot of ways, they're not in line with my core values. Let me take back that they don't suck. They're not in line with my core values. I've learned after knowing my own core values. So this past weekend, 2 things happened. I had a referral to a specialist for a doctor thing, which is crazy because I don't know if they know. I've been exercising 33 out of 35 days. So WTF. But some blood work came back to my gynecologist that she was concerned with. So she called. They called me up and said, we're getting you to a specialist. His name's Dr. Chhabra, blah, blah, blah. You have this appointment next week. So I looked up Dr. Chhabra. It said, Dr. Chhabra, oncologist. I was like, whoa, what? Like, did we miss a step here? So that wigged me out. I don't think there's anything wrong. I'm not concerned. They're running more blood tests. I don't think there's a thing wrong. I literally think I drink too much. I think that it's going to come out that I just literally consume too much alcohol. But my thought was around that, what are you doing here? What are you doing in Connecticut? What if he's an oncologist and there's some, we all have limited time on this planet and some of us get to know about it and some of us don't. And again, by the way, I'm fine. But being fine, then what am I doing here? Then what am I doing here? So I just made a very, and then I had Father's Day with my family, and one of my sisters was a terrible human being to the group. And instead of me getting like all offended and hurt and like personally wounded, she really hurt my sister-in-law. I said, you know, you just did this thing that I don't think you're realizing. And Susan is in tears. She was like, I'm not apologizing. I didn't do anything wrong. And I was like, I can't fix that. And it's not my job. It's not my place to fix it. That's her reality, not mine. But it's not what I want influencing my kid, right? It's not. So I literally, so between the doctor thing and the family thing, I was just like, you know what? My core values don't line up. My core values line up with California or not. Like, maybe not. A place is, that's a whole nother conversation, right? That we you can't run away from yourself. But I'm not happy here. I'm not imparting to him anything I want to impart. So if you go back to my core and the people I'm surrounding with, so I just sort of was like, huh. And it was very, I've said, Fawn knows this since we started talking, I've said I'm going back. Like, I got here, it was a mistake. Oh my God, what did I do? But we all have the should-haves, but maybe it'll work out, and maybe I just need to give people a chance, and maybe, like, all that. And I just had this very clear moment on Sunday before the family lunch. Huh. If I do go to this doctor and something's really bad, I don't want to spend that time with these people. Like, I want to go be where I'm happy. And then the thing happened with my sister, and she was so nasty, and I went, and it was very matter of fact. Just, that's not who I am. And then Fawn was like, we're doing authentic self. And I was like, oh, I just totally had a thing about my authentic self. Like, I know who I am. Sorry, that was very long, my thing. But that's, it was so, Fawn has been very timely with me, like, ridiculously so in the past. Like, I said this about, like, the way you put the post up for Just Do It June, like, tuned in. It's a cult, Caprice. It's a cult. She's tuning in.
I can hear all of you. No.
I know. More so that's it. Sorry, that was so long.
Thank you for sharing that and modeling that and owning that for yourself and listening to that voice inside of you that's been kind of poking for a while, like,
but also it was so calm, like the voice, yes, you're right, it's been poking and we've sort of peeled the onion and said that it just, that moment was like, huh, this is not, I'm not on board with this, like, make a change. It was so easy. Now, listen, I'd still have to like go through a year and get the kid back in school and like, you know, move next something, you know, but my idea is that by this time next year I'll be in, we'll be either driving across or back home. That's it. I'm going to get him to high school in California. Like, that's it. Like, okay, he can go through 8th grade. Yeah, so that's the idea.
Ladies, everybody, this is a big deal. Really big deal, Maura McGinnis. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, wow. So much. Yeah, it's huge. So there you go. Authentic self. That's my moment.
Good for you.
And it feels good.
That clarity, like being, like, who can relate with being in a holding pattern where that you feel like torn in two directions, but you know there's one way you're supposed to go, but you can't figure it out, right? Yeah. So, Maura, I am so, so grateful that you're able to, well, that I'm not grateful that the doctor thing happened, but in a way, right, like they say, and I've seen this to be true with a lot of my clients, family, friends, is that it sometimes, unfortunately, it takes a scare or it takes something, someone passing or something happening to help us realize like, whoa, 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 right? What am I doing? Why do I care what people think? Why am I doing whatever the thing is that I'm doing that I know I don't want to do? So I appreciate that you're listening to that more and you're not just like ignoring that part of yourself. Super huge. Yeah. And your workouts. Okay. So I'm in this other workout group. I'll keep this short. I'm in this other workout group, the Body FX with Jana something. There's like thousands of people in it. It's an amazing community on Facebook. And they kept using this term and it was a NSM. And I was like, why is everybody talking about their NSM? What the heck is that? And what it is it's a non-scale measurement. Because in that group, they've used science to figure out that, like, weight loss and weight and physiology don't always correlate. So you're not allowed to use your, well, people do use their scale measurements, but a lot of people use all kinds of other, like, I was able to walk a mile today instead of, like, heaving, and, you know. So I just want to, you look great, Maura. You definitely look great, yeah. And focus on those non-scale measurements. Right? Cool. All right. Well, that was inspiring. That was a really nice segue. Thanks, Mara. So let's explore some themes here around authentic self. I'm going to ask some questions, and I'm not going to share the workbook because I don't want you to see the questions. And I also want to be able to see all your faces right now. So I'm going to ask the question, just raise your hand or take yourself off mute and answer it if you feel like answering it. And it's like no pressure, no right answers, no wrong answers. It's just more to like see all of our processes and where we're at with authentic self in our own lives. So I'll start with the first question here, which is, what does authentic self mean to you? And I know some of you kind of already shared this in our opening circle, but if there's anything else that comes up, what does authentic or authentic self mean to you? Anybody? Jazz. Yeah, Jasmine.
I think what rings true the most for me is that when you do anything, you make any decision, there's no like question or doubt that it's like in line with like what Maura was saying, your core values. Like you don't even have to question if it's in line with your core values because you're, I don't know, in this flow state of just being so sure of who you are, and your behaviors and your habits are so already aligned and in tune with those core values that it's, you've made it like second nature. You've made it already like natural. It's like already like a instinctual thing that guides you rather than having to question or talk about it or, you know, let any seed of doubt throw you off of it.
Wow. Love that. I might have that transcribed and like tattooed on my arm. That was great. Thank you. Layla, did you want to share something around that?
Yeah, I don't want to follow that anymore. one thing, side note, that keeps coming up is that I used to read, when I was planning my wedding, a lot of, I think the biggest challenge was like, what do I really, really want? What's authentic to me and our husband? Because I was so, at that time, and still am a little bit, so easily influenced by my environment. And I tend to be agreeable to the things around me because I'm not, I have times where I'm unsure of myself. And around my wedding, it was very, very strong, you know. But every morning I read my core value sheet to help me. So part of my morning routine. So I'd like to add that. I forgot how important that was, having that. I really love that exercise. My own idea of it is where I would like to be is to be, you know, honest and true to myself without having to check in with anybody. And also having the ability to be so sure of myself that I can be like kind and compassionate to other people. So if I say no to things, like I know how to say no in a nice way, or if I do something that is true to myself, you know, I'm not going to feel any kind of guilt around that, you know, and still be able to show kindness towards people. Because for many years, and I still kind of do this, is I would say yes to people when I couldn't do something and I didn't have very much of myself to give at that time, but I would do it anyway. And I could feel myself just like like I could feel myself, you know, giving so much away when I didn't have very much to give at that time. But at that time, it was important for me to make other people happy. And I think that recentering yourself and finding living authentically will be able to, you'll be able, because you're giving to yourself, you're able to give other people more. And to the right people. Sometimes I had a lot to give to people that took advantage of that, you know. And I'm not saying I want to be mean to anybody or be, but I guess what I'm saying is, you know, I do have some to give to people, and you know, being authentic to myself, I think, would be able to help me learn how to be giving towards others and kind to everybody, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Definitely makes sense that having a balance with self-care and energy and having, like, being a good steward of that would be in alignment with authenticity. Yeah, thanks for pointing to that. Okay, on to another question here. Ooh, this is a good one. Okay, how do you know when somebody else is being inauthentic? Or how do you sense, what are some of the things where you're like, you guys know what I'm talking about? Emily, yeah, thank you.
Okay, I'm just going to speak from experience on my own part, because this is how I've recognized, like, I've been inauthentic before.
Thank you.
When I start doing things like mirroring other people's emotions, for validation, for approval, for things like that, I know that I'm not sitting with my authentic self. So that's one cue, is I can see it in other people. You know, if I start listening to people who are just repeating back to me the same words that I'm saying, or repeating, you know, showing the same facial expressions that I'm showing, or just agreeing with everything I'm saying, that's one way I know that I'm not being my authentic self, or others are not being authentic with me. I feel like in my relationship with my husband, we like argue a lot. Mostly I think because we like to argue different sides of the coin, and just kind of like see where we're at intellectually on things. So I appreciate that, because it really does. It's like an exercise of authenticity, you know, where one person takes a stance on one side, even if they don't necessarily even like support that stance completely, they're just taking it to see where you're coming from on the other side. So it's been a great exercise of learning authenticity and finding my own voice. Yeah, that's I guess one way I know that I'm not being authentic.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Who can relate with what Emily's sharing with like parroting or mirroring what other people are doing, or yeah. Awesome. Totally. I used to, and I catch myself still doing it. I catch the tendency to want to do it, but I used to, like, around people that I would pedestalize, like I had this really, really deep seated gremlin around thinking that most people were way better and had it figured out way more than I did. And I would just like operate in the world, like energetically, like putting people up above me. And I would find myself doing that, Emily. I can totally relate, where I like would start acting more, like if they were more like put together or quiet, like I would find myself doing that. Or if they were like super outgoing, I would do that too. And I'm like, what am I doing right now? So thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Does anyone else want to share an example, or have an example of when they've been authentic, or how you know when you're being authentic, or when you know somebody else is, or have a sense that somebody else is? Okay. How about, okay, what gets in the way of authentic self for you personally? What gets in the way of Maura?
The shoulds, all the shoulds, right? I mean, everything, this should be this way, or I should feel this way, or this person should be this way with me. That absolute, all the preconceived stuff that we're fed, that we believe, that we can't shed, that we're told as women, that we're told as mothers, that we're told as wives, that all of it. And it just pushes on us all the time, because if that's what it should be, then that must be right. So you try to, so it's like what Emily's saying, sort of the emulating, or, you know, the emulating the behavior of the people that you're putting on this pedestal because you think they've got it all right, because that's the should. So I absolutely think that's the shoulds, for sure.
Yeah, who can relate with that?
I have to share something.
Yeah.
Today I came downstairs and I started to cry because I read an article that said, your kids should watch no more than 1 hour, your toddlers, of TV, and it should be educational, and you should be sitting with them so that you could work through it with them and explain it to them. Okay. My kids have been watching probably 8 hours of TV a day. I swear to God, these last 4 days, like, we are barely surviving. And Joel looks at me and he's like, I'm going to burn that fucking computer if you don't get off websites that say shit like that, because whoever posted that is not a real human being. They don't actually have kids. And even if they do, I don't care. Like, and I was like, but I should be sitting with her explaining what's happening in Sophia, and I should be I should. It was so many shoulds all the time.
Oh my God, thank you so much for that. Yeah, great example. And there are so many examples like that, right? All around us, all the time. All the time, especially as women, but for men too. I mean, oh my God, we're inundated constantly with this, like, how we should, this, like, perfect blah, 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 how we're supposed, should be, oh, it makes me want to throw up in my mouth. thank you, Jasmine. Totally. Okay, one more. Let's see here. All right, this is a good one too. What happens when you are not authentic? What happens when you show up and you're not authentic? Whether you know it or
you
not.
You move all the way to Connecticut.
Ah!
You pick up your life and you move 3,000 miles to a place that you never wanted to be. Just kidding. Glad for the experience.
The things we do to prove to ourselves what we already know. Thank you. Yeah, Layla.
Yeah, I find that if I do something that is not authentic to me, for example, saying yes to an event that I didn't want to go to, I always feel like shit afterwards. Like, I'm like, why did I do that? Why was I nice to this person? Well, I mean, I always try to be nice, but I'm like, why am I engaging so much with this person that's, like, so disrespectful to me all the time? You know, like, when I am in environments like that and I'm around people that are kind of rude, you know, because I do emphasize on being kind, but like but in the past, and I still do this, is I'm like overly nice to people that are like really disrespectful. And I'm like, what the fuck is the point? Like, they don't, for whatever reason, they have an issue with me. Why am I trying to get them to like me? You know? And so when I go to events or do something that is inauthentic afterwards, I'm like, why did I do that? Yeah, I always feel horrible after. So I try to remember that for other stuff, that feeling for other stuff, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Yeah. On that note, something that happens for me is, it's almost like a, how do I say, like a bank where the more times I do something that's inauthentic, well, I started to realize this about 8 years ago, the more times I would do something that was, like, not aligned with me, usually it was around, like, my pedestalization issue, but, you know, who knows, a lot of stuff, and I would put, it was like depositing an inauthentic representation of myself into this bank, and the more I did that, the worse I felt about myself. Like there was this feeling of an internal, it's almost like an internal heartbreak. Like, why are you cheating on yourself? Like, why do you keep doing this? It was like very internally tumultuous for me. And that feeling finally got to a point where I made some big changes, but I remember living with that feeling of being out of alignment and acting out of alignment with myself. And it literally felt like I was cheating on somebody. It felt so incongruent. And over time, it just like became a reckoning. Like I needed to reckon with it. You were just sharing, Layla, reminded me of that, like that kind of after that flavor afterward, how we feel, how I felt about myself, like ashamed and like kind of gross and like trying to be compassionate, but still being like, why did I do that? So, yeah. All right. Let me see if there's one more here. Okay. Let's go ahead and shift into a little bit of information I have about authentic self, and then we'll do an activity together. So I'm going to share my screen for a few minutes here. Okay, cool. Can you guys see my screen? Cool. All right. So these are the questions that I just asked you ladies, and I'll send this workbook out. I'll post it on the call recordings page like I always do if you want to check in with this or use this as like journaling material and stuff. So I think about this a lot. I think about authentic self a lot because of the personal journey that I've been on with my own self, and also, of course, like coaching and psychology and everything that I'm obsessed with is very, very, very infused with concepts, theories, ideas about self and about authenticity and about truth and virtues and values and all kinds of things. So in my research, in my experience, I kind of boiled things down into a few things to kind of run by you ladies that I'm not necessarily trying to say are like ultimate, like, you know, golden word. And I'm not trying to say that like, if you differ with this, then that's your authentic, that's awesome because that's your authentic self. But what I am wanting to present are some ideas and some research-based concepts. Hi, Michael! about what authentic self is and is not. So the tricky thing, and this is, someday I'll do a TED talk about this whole thing because this is how Life and Purpose kind of came to be. The tricky thing is that if we're coming from a lifetime of programming and influence and shoulds, and whether that's from our family, our religion, our culture, all these things I talk about all the time, right? If we're coming from a lifetime of being shaped and molded and kind of reacting to our surroundings, we're the product of that, right? So, and most, this is the case with most people until they wake up, as I call it. And so prior to the wake up point, things are pretty unintentional. So even when people do personality tests or they do like, what are my virtues or what are my values? If they're coming from a past of programming, if they're coming from a past of unintentional living, then their personality tests are going to reflect that. Their values are going to reflect that. Their virtues are going to reflect that. And that makes it tricky because the traditional, like, as I was researching authentic self, like all of these, like, this is what it is. All these like definitions and all these blogs and stuff I was looking at. It's like being true to yourself, being honest with yourself, being acting in alignment with yourself. And that's fine, but that's presupposing that we even know who we are in the first place. That's presupposing that we aren't the product of our programming or our conditioning, right? That's supposing that we have an idea of who we are in the first place, which I think is a pretty large jump to conclusions considering what I know to be true about, humans. So Life and Purpose, just to give you guys some context. So the most programs or most like career programs, like how to discover your purpose or your career or whatever, pretty much just like skip to module 9 where it's like find your purpose. And what I realized is that if we don't do the inner work to really tune into who we are and do that work around identity in module 3 and do the work around self-love and then check back in with our values and make sure that we're like consciously, intentionally redefining and rediscovering who we are, if we don't do that, we're just going to keep on the same path that we were on before, right? Because it's just like the same programmed identity, the same programmed path. So kind of like with relationships, if you or if you've had friends who like just keep dating the same kind of guy or like, you know, keep dating the same kind of person and you're like, why do you keep doing that? It's just like with career or with lifestyle or anything, if we don't take a moment or a lot of moments to sit down, unpack ourselves, pull it all apart, which is where I know a lot of you have either been or are in the LFP journey where you're like letting go of your stories and your beliefs and your like concepts of self and what you should do and who you should be. If we don't do that and completely deconstruct so that we can reconstruct, then authentic self is going to probably continue to be this like elusive, slippery thing that is super difficult to nail down or tune into because we are still operating from a place of programmed, this is who I should be, right? So this is some really high level heady stuff here, but I'm wanting to let you know how this kind of sits in context of LFP and some of the other things that we've talked about along the journey. So from my perspective and in my experience, authentic self is something that's always, always, always inside of us. The potential for it, the capacity for it, the energy for it. It's like a seed, like a little tiny seed holds all the information for a gigantic redwood tree. Like that's bananas, right? So I know we all have our authentic self inside of us, even if we're living in sleepwalking or conditioning land, there's still some authentic self and it pokes through sometimes. And those sometimes moments when it does, we're like, oh, those are those moments where we're like, it's just easy. Like the decision is like a no-brainer, right? When we feel good about it. And the more we peel off the layers around what we should do or who we should be or what we were told to be or et cetera, the more we peel those layers off and take those masks off and like realize like, oh my God, I don't have to do that. Oh, thank goodness. The more we do that, the more space the authentic self has to like take that place and be like, hey, like, yeah, like I actually really like taking walks in the forest by myself on Saturdays instead of partying all night. Like that actually is what I really like. Oh yeah, I really do want to move back to California instead of living in Connecticut. Like that is what I really want. So my take on this is that just to recap this. So like I said, a lot of these definitions say that it's like representing one's true nature or one's beliefs or being true to oneself. And down here, I'm like, but what does that mean, right? If our beliefs are based on our previous experience, if our beliefs are limiting beliefs, like just because we think something is real, as we all know, does not make it real, does not make it true, and certainly doesn't make it authentic for us. So I am just like huge highlight of caution around a lot of this. It's mostly in the like, you know, like Medium and like blogs and self-help books and stuff where they're like authentic self is being true to your values and beliefs and all that stuff. And I'm like, yeah, once you've woken up, sure. Right. So I have, you know, some ponderables down here that I've wondered about. What does true nature, belief, and true to oneself really mean when we're constantly evolving and growing and improving? Like, because of which we are, right? I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago. I'm not the same person I was a year ago. I'm not the same person I was 20 years ago. So obviously as humans, like we're constantly evolving and growing and, you know, hopefully evolving toward our and into and with our purpose and our North Star. So if that's the case, then how can authentic self be something that's like fix like that, right? That's like true or like belief systems. So we also, as I've talked about in previous calls, we also wear several hats as people. We wear a different hat when we're around children than we do when we are at our favorite band's performance, concert, whatever. We show up differently in some of our family settings than we do when we're around our girlfriends. Like, we just do, right? And that doesn't mean that we're like sociopathic. It doesn't mean that we have, you know, we're dissociative or anything like that. What it means is that we're well adapted and that we know that different environments call for different ways of like being and showing up. And that's where people can get confused, right? Because if we're constantly trying to show up the way people want us to, that's where things can get really, really messy, as a lot of you have already mentioned, where we're like trying to impress people, or we're trying to like get the good grades, or like make the team, or be like so-and-so, right? Or like have the house and the car and the picket fence and the dog and the, you know, all the things that society says we're supposed to have. We try to fit these molds, and then we were like, why are we still unhappy? And it's due to our detachment from our own inner voice, right? From our own ability to hear or explore or be vulnerable and open to our authenticity. So I'm basically like having an argument by myself in this workbook with these like definitions that are out there, because it's very, very important that we not just take this stuff like at face value, because it can lead us down a very misleading path. So turn to Brené Brown, who, as most of you are familiar, incredible researcher, incredibly well-documented research and verified research. So I came across her definition of authenticity, and there were some parts of it that I was like, yeah, Brené, that makes sense. So she says, to be authentic, we must cultivate the courage to be imperfect and vulnerable. First sentence. So to me, that means open to growth and unattached to our story, right? So Emily was talking about being open to feedback. Great example of like, oh, okay, I'm open to growth and I'm not going to be so attached to my story. We have we have to believe that we are fundamentally worthy of love and acceptance just as we are. That one is also super important, because when we do believe that, we operate from a place of wholeness. We operate from a place of, I'm already whole, I'm already here, I'm already good, and so I don't need to impress anybody. I don't need to show up a certain way, be friends with a certain person, drive a certain car, make a certain money, live in a certain state to feel whole by the approval of others, or to feel whole by society standards or my religion or my culture, because I'm already whole. And the wonderful thing about this is that it costs no money, and it's literally reminding ourselves that we are fundamentally worthy of love and acceptance, which is very tricky for a lot of us for a long time until we click into it. But that piece in and of itself, when we believe we're whole, it's a lot less likely that we're going to be shown up inauthentically, because we're not going to be trying to impress everything else around us, right? And get that approval. So then she ends by saying, I've learned that there is no better way to invite more grace, gratitude, or joy into our lives than by mindfully practicing authenticity. So if nothing else, I would invite all of you to try this on for the next week. Try on being open to growth, being less attached to your stories, and especially this one, believing that you are fundamentally worthy of love and acceptance, just as you are, like fundamentally. You don't need fixing. You're not incomplete. You're not broken. Nothing wrong with you. Nothing. There's nothing wrong with you. If we take on that mentality, everything changes. Like, it is so fun when we're just like, I'm fine. Like, yeah, I have a lot of growth to do, but so does the flower that's like still in a bud, you know, doesn't mean that it's imperfect. So I love this quote, and I invite you to check in with this. And then down here, these are my kind of my two cents around it. There's an amazing book that just came out that I've been waiting to come out for like 4 months. It came out last week and I'm like, oh, and it's called Personality Isn't Permanent. And it's probably the best book I've ever read about how to change, how to become our true selves, how to, it's so far and beyond like be like improving habits or like becoming better people. It's like so far and beyond that. And it's backed by science. He's a PhD researcher in psychology, and all of the stuff I've been telling you guys about intentional identity for the last year is exactly what this book is about. So I'm like, yeah. Personality isn't permanent. We're fluid. We can change. We're not stuck the way that we are. And identity is malleable. Identity shifts. It changes. And identity can be created. We can become different kinds of people by intending ourselves to become different people. So I'm saying this here to remind us that if we feel stuck in a, as a certain person, or if we feel like we are obligated to be today who we were yesterday just for the sake of obligation, that we're not. Like we can step into authentic self. We can break the rules anytime. And that's really exciting because I think a lot of times we're like, we feel like we're not able to, and we are. Okay, so wrapping this out, we're going to do a quick activity. So here's what I have aggregated around authentic self, and I'll zoom out a little bit so you guys can read this. Again, I'll send this out after the call too. All right, so this is totally my summation, aggregation, and theory. So take what resonates, and no pressure to, you know, agree with it. Even though we are a cult, I'm not going to force my beliefs on you. Just kidding. So as I was reflecting on all of this week and kind of letting things settle from different walks of science and psychology and stuff, and I'm like letting all of this like play in my brain, I was like, holy crap, authentic self, simple. It's when we are aligned with our thriving self, period. Like, oh, okay, is this aligned with thriving or not? Like, is doing this thing aligned with me thriving or not? And I don't mean thriving in the sense of like millions of dollars and a Ferrari and like, you know, if that's your jam, cool. But when I say thriving, I'm referring to the innate desire that we have as biological creatures and as spiritual beings. There's an innate desire that we're born into this world with that wants to grow into the best version of itself. Just like all the other creatures on the planet, like flowers, like trees, like kittens, like everything. Everything that arrives here has an innate genetic spiritual desire to thrive and to be its best self. And when I say best, I don't mean better or worse in terms of like gold medals or, you know, all of the superficial metrics. My interpretation of this is that when we stop getting out of our own way, when we stop shooting on ourselves, when we stop letting fear run the show, when we stop trying to impress other people, right? So all of these things are like layers that keep us from our thriving self. And when we let go of that and we allow our nature that automatically wants to thrive, when we just let that happen, right? When we make decisions that feel good for us, when we work out, when it may be hard and there's resistance, but Maura said it earlier, like when we work out, we feel really good, right? Afterward, we're like, when we surround ourselves with people who are supportive and healthy and constructive, and want the best for us while also challenging us in positive ways, like that feels great, right? We know, I believe that we truly know when we're in alignment with our thriving essence and when we're not. Like, how could we not be? We're biological beings. A tree knows when it's in the sun or out of the sun, right? Like a fish knows when it's in water or out of water. We as humans, we know when we're thriving or when we're not because we can feel it. But do we listen to it, right? Do we listen to ourselves and act in alignment with our thriving? That's the thing. That's the hitch. So again, this is my theory here. I'm feeling excited about it because it kind of ties everything in. So here are some ways that I have noticed that authenticity shows up, not only just for me, but also in like coaching and witnessing others and studying this stuff as well. So, oh yeah, and actually, Maura, you mentioned this earlier, and I think Layla, a few of you did, where there's this feeling of like, I call it the feeling of coming home. It's like so right. It's so like, yeah, like I absolutely, this is, yeah, this is great. This is what I want to be doing, or this is who I am, right? Or this person's wonderful. So that feeling of, it's a feeling, right? It's beyond a thought even. It's more than like, I'm doing the right thing. It's like, yeah, this feels right. And that's our natural essence saying, yeah, good job. Like, you're thriving, keep going. So authentic self is also honest, self-reflective, self-accountable, self-actualizing, and self-aware, as opposed to being reactive or codependent. It's a super packed sentence, but essentially my understanding is that when we're being our authentic selves, we're pretty autonomous, right? Like we're tuning into our own tuning fork and we're making decisions based on that tuning fork instead of because of what other external factors are doing or saying. As I mentioned, I really do think that authentic self is always with us. how could it not be, right? Because we're born with it. But it gets hidden by and muffled inside of our identity costume that we've built over years and years and years and years and years of different identities and self-concepts. And gosh, I don't know where I put the quote. I write quotes down all the time and stick them in random places. But there was a quote I came across fairly recently around self-concept. That self-concept is nothing but the combination of the stories we tell ourselves about ourselves. I was like, yep, checks out. So that's that layer peeling, right? Checking in with that, like, is this truly me? Or like, why do I do this thing? Or why do I have this belief? Oh yeah, well, my parents did, you know, and like really, really checking in with that stuff. And if we consciously align with it, great, right? At least it's conscious. But oftentimes what we find is that we might not so much agree with it, but we've been going through the motions. I do also believe we have a sense of when we're in or out of alignment with authentic self, because we can, if we see it through the lens of thriving, we can usually feel that. It's not always super obvious, but the more we can tune into it, I think the more we can recognize it when it's happening. Authentic self is how we show up when we feel the fear and do it anyway. And that's a really big one because we limit ourselves so much because of our fear, like all the time, right? And I see it all the time, and I'm so grateful to like help a lot of you work through this. I've certainly gone through my fair share of it for sure. And when we let fear hold us back, we're basically kind of sacrificing our thriving. We're sacrificing our authentic self, and we're choosing to like let fear limit us instead. So when you feel afraid, check in with, is this a real threat or a perceived threat? If it's a perceived threat, is this like, what are the consequences of this actually? And what we usually find when we shake everything out is like, oh yeah, I'm afraid of this thing. And so what, right? Like it's actually probably great if I actually do the thing. So the last thing I'll say here is that authentic self is healthy and operates as such within the ecosystem. So I live in a jungle, literally. Like I've got mangoes right over here. I've got jungle trees everywhere. I've got birds galore all the time. And it's fascinating to be in this, like, I feel like I'm in the fishbowl because I'm on the third floor and it's just like surrounded. And I've always been a nature gal. I've always loved being in nature. So I have an awareness of like how ecosystems connect. It's fascinating. Like everything is doing its thing and everything's working in harmony. And nothing is out of balance unless something is disrupting it, right? Or if there's like a shortage of something because of like global warming or what have you. So thinking about ourselves and the ecosystem of our lives and thinking of the people we surround ourselves with, the environments that we might be in, healthy to me would mean that we're not overly humble or meek or like pedestalizing, right? Of like, oh no, you have all the abundance. You have all the thriving. Like you go for it. I don't need it. And we're also not like, hell yeah, I'm authentic. Like, oh, I'm going to go ahead and take all this stuff for myself. And like, you know, who cares? Because, so, you know, YOLO or whatever it is. So those are exaggerated ends of the spectrum, of course. But we do that. Like we totally sometimes step into entitlement mode and like get a little self-righteous. And like, especially in our Western world, entitlement is a thing. And sometimes it can be confusing, like, well, how much abundance am I allowed to have, actually? You know, like, how much is too much? How much is taking too much? Whatever. So I think this ability to, like, check in with our ecosystem and have a healthy balance with that and hold our ground, right, which goes hand in hand with our sense of belonging and value and wholeness. If we have this inherent sense of wholeness, we're not trying to eat too much, and we're also not trying to starve ourselves. Right? Because neither of those serve us in thriving, unless we're doing an intermittent fast, and then maybe kind of. So that's, I'm strongly think that we feel so wonky when we try to, when we put people on pedestals, or when we like kind of take too much than what is healthy for us. I'm pretty sure it's because we're biological creatures and we're meant to be tuned into the ecosystem. And it's our system saying like, yo, like, stop putting people above you, or like, stop lording over people in either direction. It's our system telling us we're out of balance, basically. So when you have these feelings, right, because our body is a signal system that we get to pay attention to. If you feel out of balance, if you feel cowering, or if you feel like you're gloating, check in with like, ooh, is this authentic for me? Like, am I in balance with my ecosystem right now? And probably there's some learning and some information there for you. All right, I will take some questions, and then we'll do a round of activity here in a moment. I'll stop my share. Any questions about what I just downloaded to you, ladies? Because that was a lot of information. Emily, yeah.
Okay, so this has kind of come up for me recently in some of my relationships, especially in light of some of like the current circumstances that are going on in the U.S. And my question is, how to be your authentic self in relationships that don't seem to be growing. That's like a one that really I struggle with, because I'm going to just speak from my own experience, like showing up with my dad in particular. I have a relationship that's always been very open with my dad. However, it's always been classically defined too by me being his daughter. I'm his daughter. I'm beneath him. So I've always had that like side of me that's like really fired up when I talk to my dad, because I don't like being that. I don't like being beneath him. You know, I don't like being underneath him or having that like concept of like, dad's always right, Emily's not, you know. And so that's where I start to get in my arrogance. We talk about arrogance, like that's where I start to get like a little arrogant, you know, where I'm like, well, I'm younger, you know, and I know more, and I've read more, and like, I've done more, blah, 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 whatever I want to tell myself, you know. So I check in there, and I've had to recently do a little bit more of that checking in. And my question is, you know, and his response to me is, I am who I am. You have to accept me for who I am. And he's totally right, you know? And so in that case, though, I have to be who I am, too. And, you know, for me, I'm somebody who's an advocate, who's outspoken about, their beliefs. And I've always kind of felt like that part of me gets a little bit like shut down, you know, in this relationship. So it happens in other relationships too, but I'm just talking about the poignant ones because like the poignant one is my family, you know, and they're my family for the rest of my life. So I guess like, how do I show up in that relationship or how do I show up in relationships where I'm having this like, kind of like, feeling of not being able to like really show up, like where I'm feeling like I'm not even able to fully show myself because it gets like shut down by, not wanting, I don't know if it's like not wanting to see my authentic self or just like perceiving that arrogance and wanting to shut that down or I don't know, kind of like that's, I guess, my question. I don't know if you can parse out of that what the real question is.
If you, I'll volley it back to you. If you were to distill this down into like the core essence of the question, mm-hmm. do you have a sense of that? Totally okay if you don't, because I understand that it's a complex thing for you. I'm curious to know what the real like alive question is.
I guess the question is, how do I show up in relationships where I'm continuously on this path of growing? Like I'm on this path of growing. This is a core value of mine. I'm embodying this in my life and my practices and stuff like that. And I'm not saying that like another person's not growing, but we're seeming to be growing apart in a way. And so how do I show up in authentically in relationships that seem to be growing apart and still like, you know, speak my value, you know, how do you do that? How do you like speak your values, but not in a way that's like shaming of other people's of where they're at in their journey? That's something that I really struggle with.
That's a whole call in and of itself. I love that.
yeah, totally.
yeah. So there's a lot in this and I love this question. And I have let me take a show of hands. Who can in some way like relate with what Emily's sharing here, has similar questions. Yeah, definitely relatable. So first thing I'll say here is that, and this is the thorn in our paw, or at least for me, is that we are in control and in charge of our reality at all times. At all times. And it's when we get out of alignment and we start arguing with reality, aka this person shouldn't be this way or this person should be this way or I should be able to do this around this person or I should, you know, when we start to take the facts, right, like water is wet and we go step in the water and we're like, why isn't this dry? This is ridiculous, right? So acceptance is key. And in my experience, and I've had a lot of it with my family and friends, when I am flustered, frustrated, feeling put down, feeling belittled, feeling like I'm not being heard or seen, all of that is a story I have that I should be heard on a certain level or seen in a certain way, or that they should be providing space for me to share myself in a certain way. So when I started to really do a lot of Byron Katie's work and like really get into a lot of Eckhart Tolle stuff, and I started to realize that, oh my gosh, like a lot of times I'm superimposing my belief system, my should of reality onto others. And when I stop doing that, that actually empowers me and gives me the ability to show up accurately and be in choice about how I show up. That was a pretty huge thing. So the disappointment that you feel around any of this, the disappointment that you might feel or the frustration that you might feel about how your father shows up and treats you or acts around you or speaks about you, the feelings of sadness are totally valid. And the only way to move past those feelings is going to be to step into acceptance and and really owning with yourself, like, this is how this person is. Water is wet, birds fly. My dad calls me his daughter in a belittling way or whatever it is, right? And then now you're in the power position. Now you're in the driver's seat. Now you can ask yourself, all right, knowing what I know, and now that I'm being real with myself, I can do anything. I can choose to do anything here. I can show up. I can not show up. I can show up, not talk about my values because I know it's like talking to a wall. Or I can show up and be my authentic self in other ways and just, you know, and even though values are important or like what's going on in the world is important, if you know that it's like talking to, if you're going to have a certain reaction, then who's the joke on at the end of the day when you don't, when it doesn't pan out the way that you would like it to, right? So I'm not saying let's censor ourselves or mute ourselves around important issues, but let's also not shout at walls. Like, let's also choose how and who we're interacting with and how much we're bringing in. And something I had to check in with around my mom, because that was a 17-year uphill battle, was would I rather be right? Would I rather, like, force, like, have this illusion that I could force my reality on her and help her see that she's crazy? Or do I want a relationship with my mother, right? Or do I want a relationship with her on my terms, though, right? So, like, clear boundaries, like, mom, you do this, I'm leaving, right? Like, you say that you call me drunk one more time, we're not talking. Having boundaries is very important for ourselves because we're no longer saying to ourselves, this person shouldn't do this anymore. If they're going to do it or they're not, right? That's, who knows? Probably they will. So making that choice around what is my objective here, maybe the objective is, if your objective or my objective were to try to, like, it's really important for me to bring my opinions and my belief systems and values to the table and talk about it. If that's super important to me, then I also need to take into consideration that probably arguments are going to happen. People are going to leave tables and it's going to be uncomfortable. But if I have the objective of, you know, my mom's, that's how I used to think, my mom's like crazy. However, there is a lot that I desire in terms of connection with her and to spend time with her. So I'm going to shift from trying to get my mother to see whatever I was trying to get her to see to actually just accepting her for who she is and spending time. And not easy. Not easy. Constant practice still to this day. So, yeah.
Can I ask a quick follow-up to that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that desire to change other people is coming from, like, a deeper place of not accepting myself? Like, I don't mean that in, like, a super, like, I mean, I'm just thinking, like, okay, well, what is this desire to change other people? Is that desire to change yourself, you know, like, as somebody who identifies as constantly growing, constantly wanting to change and improve, is that, where is that rooted from, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great follow-up, and it's a really deep question.
Maybe not for this call, but I'm just...
Right, yeah, for the sake of time, I'm going to bookmark that one, but... Our psychology as humans is such that in groups feel really safe for us, right? People who think the same way, people who, hence what we have going on in this world, like, where there's, like, concentrated pods of extreme perspectives. And so it's natural to want other people to think the way we do because we can't conceive of how anybody could not think the way that we do, right? So it's a pretty normal socially psychological predisposition that we have. There could be some underlying stuff. So I think it's great that you brought that up. And, Layla has to hop off. Thanks for being here, Layla. it could be.
But I want to stay, but I got to go tend to my mom.
No worries. Thank you so much for being here. Mwah. So Jungian psychology is there's a lot of shadow work that could be done through the vehicle of Jungian psychology. sometimes it's helpful. I don't subscribe to it, but I know that it's really helpful for a lot of people. But I think more so it's like we, especially if our values are around like creatures cohabiting the earth together and like being compassionate and being loving and peaceful. And, you know, like these are values that are oriented toward thriving. So it's really frustrating when we see other people living out of alignment with like thriving, right? It's super hard. So I have a sense that might be kind of what's going on. Anyway, so I'm going to start wrapping out, but those are super great questions. Thank you so much for asking them. Yeah, awesome. So I was going to do an activity, but we are short on time and we are at the hour. So I will encourage you ladies. I'll show you what it is and then I'll encourage you to just check in my chat here. Okay. I'll encourage you to ask yourselves these questions or each other in the group or with your friends and family. Maybe not family. Depends. All right. So authentic self stretch zone. The first question is to share one area, situation, or aspect of your life that you were or are not aligned with your authentic self. So really good prompts for journaling. And then what was or is influencing you to be out of alignment and not show up authentically? So this is like kind of calling ourselves out, right? Like, where am I showing up out of alignment? And then what would showing up authentically look like? And I think, Emily, this could be a really great set of things to explore. Like, yeah, I think there's some interesting nuance and layers here that could be explored. Sometimes we know, we're like, well, if I was being authentic, I would totally just like do this, this, and this, right? I'd wear costumes every day and prance around like Lady Gaga, which, yeah, maybe that would be more authentic for me. So that's question set A. And then question set B is share one area, situation, or aspect of your life that you would love to show up authentically in, that you're like, oh, if I could just do that, like, that'd be amazing. I see other people do it, right? I see people like modeling that. And why would you love to show up authentically in that way? Like, why does that feel important to you? And what would it look like if you actually did? Like, so it's kind of like an imagination, tuning in with your authentic self, thinking about, you know, like, what would it look like if I was aligned with thriving in this particular way? So, and then I have an invitation at the bottom to create an affirmation. So that could be something like leaning into the authenticity part of things. So that could be, I choose authenticity over the pressure of others or over the opinions of others, or I choose to be authentic even when it's hard, or I don't really know what authentic self means, but I'm willing to be open to growing and practice loving myself unconditionally, right? Or whatever resonates with you. So affirmations are so great for repatterning stuff. And then I have a couple of resources down here. The Personality Isn't Permanent book. I know some of you are in the book club reading something else right now, so I don't want to like totally sidetrack everybody, but this will become a core staple of LFP for sure. And it's terrific. I'm listening on audiobook and reading it for the second time. It's really, really good. Okay. Thank you so much, ladies. I'd love to do a takeaway round. So if anyone can stay to share takeaways, that would be great. But I do also know that we're at time. So if you need to hop off, totally fine with me. You gonna hop off, Sil? Yeah, cool. Thank you so much for being with us. Yeah. Does anyone, can anyone stay for takeaways? Hands up. Oh, cool. Awesome. Thank you. All right. Let's do it. Emily, what's your takeaway?
Okay. So, I really, aligned with your, description about how to check in with your ecosystem and, kind of doing some evaluations there of like, am I coming from a humble and meek spot, or am I coming from a kind of arrogant spot? Where am I coming from in this like scenario, and also tying that back to Moira's thought about really connecting that to your core values of like in those moments where maybe I'm feeling like I'm starting to slide into meek or I'm sliding into arrogant, kind of stepping back and like realigning and saying, what core value am I triggering right now? What is it? Why am I not recognizing it? Where is it coming from? And then kind of doing that check-in that you also mentioned of like, is this a real threat or a perceived threat? And I'm coming from scarcity or abundance here. Mm-hmm. What are the real consequences? So just kind of maybe like bringing that thought process into like these moments where I feel really challenged.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you for tuning into that and capturing those nuggets. Yay. Thanks, Em. How about you, Caprice? What's your takeaways? Your first call. This is a really, really heady one.
I was thinking of moments that I really felt like this is right and moments that I didn't know if it was right. And like when we were talking about the marketing and about having the classes, and these are the kind of things that feel so, so right. And I, even if I'm scared about anything, I know I have to do it. My takeaway is that I have to focus more on that because it makes me happy. And being myself and knowing what I want.
Great. Yeah, great example. That's so true, too, in my observation and working with you, Caprice, where, like, you, I love it. Like, I hope it's okay to share this. You texted me the other day, and you had an experience, and you were like, I felt great. I don't know why I felt great, but that was really cool. Like, can you help me figure out why it felt so great? And I was like, core values, here you go. but, yeah, I love that you have that. Like, you know when it's yes, like that feeling. Really great. Thank you. And how about you, Mara? What's your takeaway?
I think my takeaway is I didn't know it was a book when you first said it, but I'm in love with this personality isn't permanent idea. Because, you know, and also Emily, like you made me want to cry because so many of my issues recently have been family and like my place in the family and how should I be with this person and how should I be with this person and why don't they hear me? Why don't they hear me? You know, like all of it and all that birth order and parent, all that shit. So I'm sorry and I'm empathetic and, yeah, for all of that. But the thing that really kept resonating for me with personality isn't permanent is Fawn facilitated a call a couple weeks ago. About sort of everything happening with Black Lives Matter and in our world and like how do we all sort of deal and what are the perspectives and what can we do as allies, as white people, as privileged people, whatever. And something that came up on that call was the idea, and again, it was a very similar like, but I know this, but this person doesn't hear this. And I remember saying on a call, that's because we're doing the work, right? So personality is not permanent. I'm like really resonating with that. We don't have to be who our family thinks we are or who our job thinks we are. And I think the more we embrace that and that Brene Brown thing of being uncomfortable, right? What's the beginning of her quote is, you know, when you accept the discomfort of it, then you're living in your authentic self. So that's really, that idea is really resonating with me on so many levels, right? Understanding other people, understanding our relationship to them, and still staying true without then slipping into either the arrogance or the hump, you know, it's all, so no one takeaway. It's all connected. It's all connected.
Love it.
Yeah.
Thank you for those references. It's amazing and it's true. And like, I just can't even believe that this book exists and that he has done so much research, because in December when I was presenting intentional identity and this idea that like I've kind of patchwork together this, like, guys, like, we can change, you know, like, you can become whoever you want, you're not stuck. And then this book is just a mind blow. It's so good. So I love that that's resonating with you, Maura. And I encourage you to, like, journal about what's coming up for you from this call, and then, like, grab that audiobook and check it out. Yay. All right. Thank you so much, ladies. Thanks for hanging here with these really stretchy, deep conversations. I appreciate you so much.
Welcome, Caprice. Welcome.
Yeah. Thanks for being with us, Caprice. Yeah. Yay.
Thank you much, ladies.
Yeah,
thank
this is awesome. Thank you for facilitating.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's my joy. Love you ladies lots. Have a great rest of your night.
Night, everybody.